Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. Die Christenstem van Suid-Afrika.
Nou, as jy net pas aangesluit het, ons het vir jou gesê, die hele week is internationale slaapweek. En die groot vraag is, slaap jy genoeg? Het jy miskien ook nodig om het bietjie meer te prioritiseer? En hoekom is het so verskriklik belangrik as het kom by jou algehele gezondheid? Nou, to give us more information on this topic, we are joined by the legendary Dr.
The
Michael.
The one and only.
Yeah, Dr. Michael Moore.
Thank you. I did not expect that. Wow. One more time. Thank you for switching to English, by the way. But that's because you started. I'm like, oh my word. Kind of what that kind of stupid. It's well
spot on. No, it's fine. Today we will do our best. We will do our best to speak in English. Michael, what are the most significant health benefits of getting adequate sleep? And if I say adequate sleep, we're always asking, but what is that adequate sleep? You know, is it 6 hours, 8 hours? What is that magic number?
Well, I mean, Vanessa, sleep's one of the three pillars of good health. So it's eat whole food, move as often as you can, and sleep adequately. And it's a great question. You know, what's adequate sleep? When we get this adequate sleep, we're talking about our immune systems function better, so we can fight off infections. Our brain clears out toxins. It stores memories. It recharges, boosts mental clarity and creativity, so you guys can be on point as you always are every morning. Our heart and blood pressure regulate better. Lowers the risk of heart disease. Our hormones stay balanced, supporting appetite, metabolism. So sleep is just like it's a cornerstone of good health. How much is the question? And the answer quite simply is a minimum of 7 hours and a maximum of 9 hours. Any more than nine and you're kind of getting to this sedentary lifestyle. So minimum seven. And when I say minimum seven, it's actually, there was a fascinating study done quite recently that showed sleeping 6 hours a night for 2 weeks straight slows your brain down as much as if you'd stayed awake for 48 hours consistently. It affects your memory, your focus, your decision-making, your reaction times. It's basically like you're drunk. And the worst is...
Oh, that explains a lot. That explains a lot in my life now.
Okay, very good. So you're drunk. You know? No, I mean, the point is that it's 7 hours is not a luxury. It's brain fuel. You need seven at least.
Sure.
Yeah.
Michael, before I ask you this question, now, about that 7 hours, is that seven hours throughout the night, or is that 7 hours in one go? In other words, if you sleep for 3 hours and you wake up and you're awake for...
So it's a great question. Sleep's divided into different stages.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and a sleep cycle is around 90 minutes. So the first half of that, the first 50%, the first 45 minutes is just light sleep when your body and your mind begin to relax. Then you get into deep sleep for the next 20, 25 minutes. That's critical for physical repair. Your body heals, it rebuilds muscles, your immune system gets strengthened. And then the last 25% to 25 minutes is essentially REM sleep. And that's where your brain is most active. It processes emotions, consolidates memories, performs mental repair. Now, we all need to go through a full cycle to get that full benefit. If you're going to sleep 2 hours here, an hour and a half there, you know, 3 hours there, you're not going to get your full 90-minute cycle, and so you're not going to get the full benefit of 6 hours. So cumulative sleep, 2 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, doesn't work as well as 7 hours in one go.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, man. That's preaching it.
Yeah. But now my question is, so many people struggle with sleep issues like insomnia and disrupted sleep. And now you said we have to sleep a certain amount of hours, but can we catch up on sleep? Is that even possible?
It's also a very good question. You guys are hitting me hard today.
No, we have to get the doctor out of you.
Here he comes. So you can catch up to some extent. And I hate these kind of answers like, sort of. So to some extent you can, but it's not as simple as sleeping in over the weekend and hoping your body resets. So short-term sleep debt, like a late night or two, can partly be recovered with extra sleep, but long-term sleep deprivation builds up, and it isn't fully reversible with a few naps. So what's more important is getting back into a consistent sleep routine, which means go to bed, wake up at the first 20 minutes, actually, find sunlight. It means not having coffee within 90 minutes of waking up. Forget about just before you go to sleep. 90 minutes, you don't have coffee in that, and we can talk about that in a moment. But, I mean, think of sleep like a bank. So overdrafts can be covered, but chronic debt, man, no one wants that. That takes a toll on your health balance.
Sure. That's intense, because I know there's a link between sleep and other health conditions like obesity and diabetes cardiovascular disease. How is that connection working?
So the science there, Vanessa, is very clear. So sleep affects almost every system in your body. So poor sleep is linked to type 2 diabetes because sleep deprivation makes your body less sensitive to insulin, and you get these high blood sugar levels, not great. It's linked to heart disease because poor sleep raises your blood pressure. It increases inflammation, and it actually disrupts this natural rest cycle of your heart. And obesity, guys, here's a big one. When you don't get enough sleep, your hunger hormones, ghrelin and leptin, go haywire. So ghrelin is the one that makes you feel hungry. That goes up. While leptin, the one that tells you you're full, goes down. So not a great combo.
And that
hormonal mismatch can leave you craving sugary, high-calorie foods. In fact, research shows people who get less than 6 hours of sleep end up eating around 300 extra calories the next day, mostly from junk food. So if you want an effortless way to keep your weight in check, hit the snooze button.
This is now my new lifestyle. I will never eat healthy again. I will just sleep.
Oh, my word.
It's a joke.
It's like cherry-picking advice. Man, the worst thing to do.
Yeah, no, I'm so concerned, and I'm sure a lot of people are concerned. Now, you spoke about the sleep deprivation. Can you explain a little bit more on the impact that sleep deprivation have on mental health?
So, I mean, that's also a really good question. Lack of sleep is like walking through life with a foggy brain and a short fuse. Because when we're sleep deprived, our mood becomes volatile. We're more irritable and anxious and, you know, more likely to feel down or even depressed. Our stress hormones, cortisol, goes up. So it puts our body in this fight or flight mode, and focus and memory and decision making all suffer. So, I mean, if you want to look at the chemistry behind that, REM sleep, that's that last cycle of our sleep cycle. That's key for emotional regulation. That's your brain's emotional detox. And it's during that phase that your brain processes all of the emotional experiences of the day and reorganizes and integrates them in a way that makes them manageable and less overwhelming. It's like an emotional reset. Mm. Now, when you disrupt that REM sleep, emotional regulation takes a hit. There's a little part of your brain called the amygdala, which is responsible for fear and anger. That becomes hyperactive if you don't get enough sleep.
Sure.
And that kind of deprivation can almost increase activity by, they reckon, close on 80%, which is why after a poor night's sleep, little problems can feel like huge disasters. Mm. Those of you with small kids, you've got up in the middle of the night, you've stepped on a piece of Lego, and it feels like the world is going to end. And that's just because everything feels like a crisis after a bad night's sleep. And it really is just your good decision-making part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, takes a back seat while your emotional alarm system, your amygdala, gets cranked up big time. So, the less sleep you have, the more likely you to snap, stress up, feel anxious. You know, good sleep is therapy for the brain, basically.
This intensity.
Yeah, no, it's intense. Michael, just a question for anybody who wants to start off on this journey. What does this look like for that person? If I want to start it, I say I want to make a change in my life. How does this practically look like? Do I need to go to bed at 7? Do I need to?
No.
Okay.
No. So, you need to get a bedtime routine. And it almost starts when you wake up. So I mentioned it fleetingly, but the first thing we should all do, and the fact that we live in sunny South Africa is amazing. The first thing you want to do when you get up is find some sunlight. Get literally almost look at the sun, not directly at the sun, but those photons just trigger a kind of a neurochemical system in your body that says you're now awake. Your cortisol spikes. It does all sorts of great things. And that regulates your sort of circadian rhythm. That's what they call it. So early morning sunlight, very important. No coffee within 90 minutes of waking up. Why? Because caffeine blunts the effect of cortisol. When we wake up, we have this lovely cortisol spike that makes us feel alert and it's what you guys get. It's why you are like you are in the mornings.
Yeah.
If you drink caffeine, you blunt that effect or you kind of dull that. And so you become dependent on caffeine, not your body's natural sort of cortisol in the morning. By 2 o'clock, guys, no more caffeine, because caffeine's got a half-life of, for example, 8 hours. So if you're going to be drinking your last coffee at 5, that means half that amount of caffeine is still in your system after midnight. And you're not going to get the REM sleep that you need. So that's just caffeine. And then when it comes to a routine, I would say an hour before bed, no food, no screens, none of that blue light,
yeah.
Dim a little bit, read, you know, just get into a lovely conversation, forget emails. It's the routine of getting ready for bed so that when you put your head on the pillow, you fall asleep. And probably the biggest thing here, sorry, this is a long answer to a short question, is consistency.
Consistency.
So pick your 7 hours. So if you're going to go to bed at midnight, that's fine, but then get up at 7. If you're going to go to bed at 10, no problem. You can get up at 5. So adjust for yourself, but make it 7 hours minimum and have a consistent routine. And make sure your bedroom, think Batman when you think about sleep. Cool, dark, and quiet.
Love it.
Cool, dark, and quiet. The kind of fun dat jy net ons aangesluit het. Dit is slaap bewusmakingsweek en ons het besluit om 'n kenner nader te trek, niemand anders nie as Dr. Michael Mom. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Thank you for this ek dink hierdie is waardevol.
Insightful.
So baie, ek weet wie sê.
Thank you guys.
Radio Tygerberg 104 FM. Ons verkondig Christus.